Blog Talk Radio.
Today, we are very fortunate. Welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. We have a loaded show for you today. Let's get this bad boy going by letting you know we are brought to you by the one, the only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School and Chandler Heights. Make sure you get down there and let them know that PLR sent you. They will take care of you 10% off of your cigar purchase. Also, you can, don't forget, you can call up and order your cigars, and they will have them ready at the door for you. Call a number, very simple, 480-620-7599. And call up, they'll have your sticks at the front door. Now, I will have information exactly when you can go in and sit down and rest, select your own stick, have a cigar. As soon as I get that information, I will get it to you ASAP. Like I said, that's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Now, if for any reason you can't physically get into Chandler to get your sticks, you can always order online at Stogie World, S-T-O-A-G-I-E, world.com. And they can get your cigars shipped to you as soon as possible. Usually they ship within the same day. On today's show, we have the one, the only, Michelle Gardner, ASU beat writer with the Arizona Republic. She is scheduled to join us and approximately 10 minutes after the hour. So we will have her on talking ASU hoops. We got a loaded show, though. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. I want to talk about what's going on with Arizona State basketball. I'm not going to jump ahead of myself in getting into that, because I definitely want her opinion on what's happening. So we will talk about that today on the Cave Show with PLR. I'm going to get into this Earl Thomas thing a little bit. Not a lot of it, but a little bit. So I'm going to hop into that as well. Call a number. Let me get that out there. 917-889-7828. 917-889-7828. That is the number to call in. That is the Kerry Lackey Law Line. So I'm going to get into Earl Thomas. And I'm going to get into a tweet that LeBron James sent that Jason Whitlock hopped in on and somehow made the tweet about himself. And I think it's funny because, you know, a lot of times, and I know there's kind of this rule that we don't talk bad about each other in media. And I'm not going to talk bad, but I'm going to just kind of point out something. I love it when people that are narcissistic tell people not to be narcissistic. I always find that intriguing. I'm going to tell you not to make something about you, but I'm going to make you something about what I want to tweet about. Now, LeBron James sent out a tweet, and a lot of this has to do, or I shouldn't say a lot of this, all this came in to do with a young man who was jogging and who was subsequently murdered. And it looks like just for jogging and for quote unquote, possibly fitting a description which allegedly gave two men the right to chase him down and try to hold him, make a citizen's arrest, basically, and murder him. And I'm going to keep saying basically and allegedly because I'm not putting myself out there until everything is that we have. But LeBron James sent a tweet that said, "We're literally hunted every day, every time we step foot outside the comfort of our homes. can't even go for a damn jog, man. Like, WTF. Man, are you kidding me? So, Jason Whitlock and his need to make everything about Jason Whitlock decided that he would say, this isn't helpful. It's Twitter trolling. It's using this man's strategy to build a brand that's more outspoken than Michael Jordan. There are all kinds of ways to draw attention to this tragedy, suggesting that we are hunted every day, every time it's just shit stirring. Now, Jason Whitlock went on his show today and Speak for Yourself, and he said one thing he did wrong was, you know, by adding Michael Jordan, he did basically the same thing that LeBron James did. Now, in speaking to some people, in fact, before I even got on air today, I was speaking to one of my fraternity brothers, and he made a good point. He goes, if you take every point or word that someone says literally, then where are we? And that's what Jason Whitlock did. Jason Whitlock brought attention to the tweet as opposed to bringing attention to the situation. And that's what he seems to do a lot of times. It really truly is. It makes absolutely no sense. So instead of talking about the problem, or what is the problem, or what could be the problem, we're talking about LeBron's brand and how he has a need to be bigger than Michael Jordan. That's a separate issue. A complete separate issue. And we could twist stuff any way we want. I could take any tweet, any random tweet on Twitter and twist that tweet. And I could do it with ease. But some of us in this job that we all love, that we all get paid for, that we all enjoy, I think some of us in this job understands that clickbait works for them too. I mean, we've heard Newman, and I've looked at a lot of Whitlock's tweets. I look at a lot of people's tweets. I don't care if I agree with you, disagree with you. Some of the time, most of the time, to me, it really doesn't matter. But I've seen him a lot of times say, Twitter means nothing to me. Twitter isn't that big of a deal. If you get upset over something on Twitter, yada, yada, yada. But in saying that, he takes every opportunity on Twitter to take shots at certain people. So if Twitter means nothing and what you tweet means nothing, then why do you do it? I don't know. Anyway, I'm not going to keep this up anymore. It's really a waste of time. I'm not on Speak for Yourself. I am not a paid employee of the Fox Network. So I'm going to step off this because for whatever reason, I'm helping a narcissist get ratings for their own show when they don't need me. So, ASU Hoops. Yesterday, I had the privilege of being on a conference call, media conference call with Coach Bobby Hurley, and he spoke about the state of ASU basketball, a lot of stuff that's going on, a lot of recruits that are coming in, and some of those that aren't going to be there, some of those that are looking at not returning to the program. One person not returning to the program is Romello White. Now, Romello was leaning towards turning pro. It looks like that may be changing. He has now put himself in the transfer portal. And a lot of indication is pointing that he may be joining the Vanderbilt basketball program. Head coach Jerry Stackhouse, who he's had a relationship with. So I want to get into that, and I want to get into that not with someone that knows way more about ASU sports than I do, and that's Michelle Gardner, ASU beat writer for the Arizona Republic. And we're going to get to Michelle in exactly 15 seconds.
The Law Office of Carrie Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Carrie Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
And on the Carrie Lackey Law Line right now, on the Cave Show with PLR, the one, the only, Michelle Gardner, ASU beat writer for the AZ Republic. Michelle, thank you for coming on. I appreciate you. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I am good. And I want to get into this ASU basketball thing, but don't forget me when you're having that garage sale of all your memorabilia, because I want to get in there with a couple of those things myself now. Don't forget me.
No, I won't. No, it's the collection I have is basically most of my late husband's stuff. And he was quite the collector and quite the sports fan. And, yeah, I've got quite a bit.
You got to have some old Chicago White Sox or old Chicago Norm Van Leer, Jerry Sloan, Reggie Theus Bull stuff. And if you do, like I said, you got my number. Give me a call. Let me know. I'll be down there in no time.
Okay. I know I've got some White Sox stuff.
Yeah. And if I need to pay, no problem. I'll bring my wife's checkbook.
Okay.
So, Michelle, a couple things stood out with me with ASU this offseason. We saw a lot of movement, and I want to make sure I'm being fair to the young men that are there. But I know that we had Romello White, who I guess fingers were pointing that he would go into the NBA draft, and now it looks like he's going to be in the transfer, or he is in the transfer portal, and a lot of folks said Vanderbilt is going to be the spot. Did he get some information, do you think, or that you know of, that may have said, hey, I don't know how you're going to do in this draft. You might want to stick around one more year. And that's why he's made that decision to still play college ball?
That's my guess. I mean, these guys have nothing to lose by going through the process. They can go through an advisor. They have what they call an undergraduate advisory committee, which basically gives a player a breakdown of everything he needs to do to get better. So a player really has nothing to lose by going through that process, getting some feedback, see where he stands. And then that way it tells him what he really needs to focus on next year. So my take on Romello is that he needs to go to a place where he's going to be better showcased. Let's be real. It's guard you at Arizona State. They haven't showcased a big man in a very long time. You've got two top 50 recruits coming in. How many touches is Romello White really going to get next year if he were to come back here?
Yeah.
That's my take on the situation. Now, the only way I might fault the young man a little bit, and I really like Romello. I had a lot of talks with him during the year. The only thing I can say is if he wasn't going to come back, it probably would have been better if he'd have given Coach Hurley a heads up a little bit earlier. You know, a lot of the guys that were out in the transfer market are gone now. So, and I think Bobby was looking for a big man anyway, but I think it would have been nice if he would have given Bobby a heads up a little bit sooner than we're in May now.
Right. Right. And it seems like it, in all honesty, on that call with Bobby Hurley, he obviously isn't going to just come out and say it, but it really does seem like he was blindsided by that one a little bit.
Well, he said he was. I believe what he said. He said that he had every notion that Romello was coming back. So I believe him. I don't think he was, you know, blowing smoke at that point. I think he really was a little bit blindsided.
And I want to switch to Remy Martin. I'm not finished with Romello, but I want to switch to Remy Martin. I was reading an article in Bleacher Report, and they don't even have him ranked as one of the top 50 players coming out of college to go to the pros, let alone all the talent that's going to be drafted from overseas. And I don't know if you know this, but in this Bleacher Report article, they actually quoted you as well, and saying that he had very good instincts that few guards have, athletic can make off the dribble, and especially that he can do those things off the dribble, especially in the open court. But with that being said, Michelle, He's not even ranked in the top 50. Is there advice that you know of or that he possibly may be getting? Because if you're not ranked in the top 50 with the college kids, before we even get to the overseas kids that the NBA likes to do a lot of draft and stash, what is leading him, do you think, to want to go pro now?
Well, yeah, that one really surprised me too. That one really surprised me more than anything else, because I think we were all counting on Remy coming back next year, and he's the odds-on favorite for Pac-12 Player of the Year next year. The only thing I can think of is maybe he's looking at other professional opportunities as well, not just NBA. Maybe he wants to go play overseas. He has said before that he would like to represent the Philippines in international play. So maybe it's more than just the NBA draft, and maybe he's looking at opportunities such as that as well. I don't think they've closed the door on Remy coming back, but the way his Instagram message was worded, it didn't sound like he was coming back.
No, not at all. And that's why I'm starting to think and look at the recruits that Bobby has. If he comes back, will he be able to be the same Remy Martin and play with the recruits who are going to demand more touches at this point now as well?
Well, if he came back, I think he'd be more of a pass-first point guard as opposed to a shoot-first, jacket-up from all points on the court, which he's been the last couple of years. I think if he came back, he'd be more of a distributor than a shot-taker. So, you know, maybe in some respects, if he comes back and he showcases that part of his game, maybe he's a more attractive option for professional teams and or European leagues or whatever, because, I mean, I think last year in particular, he had to shoot a lot. And when you look at the tools he's going to have around him, he's not going to have to – and I think we all know that when Remy was out of control a little bit enforcing things, that's when he was out of his comfort zone, so to speak. So if he's got that many playmakers around him, he doesn't have to take those shots. And I think it would better showcase him as a true point guard.
On the Kerry Lackey Law Line, ASU beat writer, Arizona Republic, the one and only Michelle Gartner. Now, the one thing that Bobby said yesterday, and I want to get my players confused, he said they're trying to get a waiver. Was that for Holland Woods or was that for Luther Muhammad?
That was for Holland Woods. Luther Muhammad is a guy that they've really – he's going to be that guy. And Bobby talked about how the year that Zion and Rob Edwards redshirted, they brought out the best in guys in practice by the way they practiced. He's looking at Muhammad as that kind of guy too. And the other thing too is you don't need everybody to play right away because you're going to lose guys after this year. You can't have everybody play right away. They're better off redshirting Luther Muhammad, because let's be real, Josh Christopher probably only lasts 1 year. Marcus Bagley probably only lasts 1 year. Then you've got a lot of juniors. If Virg comes back, he's gone. If Remy comes back, he's gone. Kamani's gone. You got a lot of juniors that are going to be seniors you're going to lose. So they're better off redshirting Luther Muhammad anyway. As far as Woods goes, their plan is to get the waiver, and then that way they have the option. Now, my guess is they would still like to redshirt him, but if they get the waiver, they've got some flexibility. They can make that decision when they know if Virg is coming back or if Remy's coming back or, God forbid, they have an injury along the way. So I think, and from what I've heard, everybody just loves Woods' game. So I think they just want to get the waiver in case they need him, but I think – they would prefer not to use him this year for the same reasons they prefer probably not to use Muhammad.
With everything that's going on and so much uncertainty on the backs of COVID-19, do you think this year we're going to see a lot of those waivers granted just because not that COVID-19 necessarily had a lot to do with this upcoming season, but because of the way last year ended, the NCAA, and also in keeping that NCAA is trying to, I guess, kowtow at this point to keeping guys in college and not looking for them to go to the G League, do you think we'll see more waivers and give guys more of a leeway to do some of the things that will help them?
You know, well, maybe. And we know the NCAA is looking at this provision that would give everybody a waiver, like a one-time transfer. And they
right.
were supposed to vote on that, I think, earlier this month or late last month, but they ended up postponing that. So that's still up in the air, too. So, you know, if they were to say, okay, everybody gets a one-year, you know, one-time waiver, you know, I don't know if that's good or bad. I kind of haven't decided on whether that would be a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, to be determined. So, but I think definitely, you know, I think you've seen a lot of guys go closer to home or maybe think twice. And I don't know if that's part of Romelo. I think that's got to be part of Romelo's situation where he wants to go more back to Georgia. I think if you really look at the recruits and where they're going, there's a lot of guys that are going closer to home. They're either transferring closer to home or choosing to play at a college closer to home. So I'm sure, you know, different players are different, but I think it definitely has a lot of guys thinking.
When we look at a Marcus Bagley, who is technically a small forward and play that position, and then we have a Kamani Lawrence and we have Tayshaun, how much will Marcus Bagley do you think will bite into their time? And is that really kind of, I don't want to say recruiting a great player is a wake up, but is it kind of a wake up to those two saying, hey, look, you're going to get pushed because their game, in fairness, has been inconsistent.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely. You know, I think until you know what guys are coming back, and I'm talking about Verge and Remy at this point, it's kind of hard to pencil in what kind of lineup they're going to have. But most definitely, you know, if I'm Tayshaun Cherry, I'm looking at what's coming in, and I'm like, okay, I better be working. So no doubt. I mean, if you want to have playing time, you better be working to get better because you've got some studs coming ahead of you. And I think we all saw what Tayshaun could do. I mean, he was a disaster the first probably three quarters of the season. And when he started to buy into more of a defensive mindset and a defensive philosophy as opposed to a three-point shooter, he contributed in that role, and he did very well. And if, you know, with Romelo not coming back and if they don't find another big man, they're going to need Tayshaun to maybe do that defensive work and that rebounding. They don't need him to score. They're going to have enough other scorers. So Tayshaun could still have a very big role in this on this team, but it could be more from a defensive standpoint. And the same thing with Kamani.
Yeah, and it's funny, Michelle, because as I've watched these two guys, and actually I spoke to someone who watched a lot of Kamani Lawrence when he was in high school, and he raved about him like he was going to be the next big thing. And I think there's a jump that a lot of people don't understand, that, you know, from high school to college, from the college even to G League, from G League to pros, whatever. There's a big jump. And watching him as you cover the team, and I know I have my opinion, but why do you think, just off, from what I heard he could do offensively and defensively, what do you think is stood in his way from being that consistent night in, night out guy that can do all these things that he has the skill set to do on a consistent basis?
You're talking about Kamani?
I'm talking about Kamani.
Yeah. You know what? I think he just hasn't found that consistent role. I mean, he's kind of been the other guy. They've been shooters and guards, and he's never been that one, two, or three option. So he's kind of had been in a weird position in that he really hasn't had a defined role. So I think that's kind of a big part of the problem. Just not knowing one, you know, and there was one game Bobby didn't play him at all, and we were like, is Kamani injured? And it was, you know, and then after he came back, then he had a great game. So I just think they haven't found a defined role that suits him the best yet. And, you know, it's easier to be consistent, a consistent scorer, when you're having a consistent amount of opportunities, and he really hasn't had that. So I think that that's a big, big part of it.
On the Kerry Lackey Law Line, the one to only Michelle Gardner, ASU beat writer for the Arizona Republic. On the K Show with PLR, Michelle, two more, and I'll let you get out of here. From what you've seen over the history of the ASU program, since you've been covering the team, and I'm going to go back because I've been around this team, Herb Sindick, and I'm not going to apologize. I wasn't one of the biggest fans in terms of him coaching the team. I thought he was a great guy. If he was a high school coach and my kid wanted to play for him, I would say great. He is a great coach, a great person. They're going to learn the game. They're going to learn a lot of stuff. But recruiting-wise and the pace of the game with the players, I wasn't a big fan of. So I just want to get that out there so you don't think I'm kicking dirt on the dead. But what I've seen of Bobby is 3 years in a row the team would have made the tournament. 3 years in a row we have 20-plus wins. With this set of recruits, based on the landscape of college basketball, if we have a season that jumps off on time, do you think this team has what it takes? And do you think Bobby is doing what he should be doing to get another 20-plus victory and get this team, as constructed now, even with the question marks, back into the tournament?
Absolutely. You know, and I'm going to be the first one to admit that last year I was kind of on the fence about Bobby. I wasn't quite sure, and maybe that was me still being a little bit new and kind of feeling my way through it here. I like what Bobby did this year, and when you look at how badly the team started, it could have gone south in a hurry. But he held the fort. They stuck together, ran the course, and when you look at the way they were playing at the end of the year, I definitely became more of a Bobby Hurley fan with what I saw from him last year. I also saw a much better team in late game situations, whereas the year before last, a lot of questionable decisions on possessions late in the game, questionable decisions on who's taking the shots. And I think when you look at all the close games that this team pulled out last year, I mean, they didn't have that many blowouts, win or lose. I think they did a much better job in late game situations, making the shot they had to make, making the stop they needed late in the game. And I think that's a lot attributed to Bobby Hurley. And then the other thing too is he did kind of calm down as far as the demeanor a little bit last year. I think a lot of times when you call timeout and your team goes into the huddle, it's not a good thing if you're out yelling at the referees instead of coaching your team up in the huddle. So I think he did a much better job of kind of pulling back. And yes, he had his moments, but I think he only had one technical foul last year. So I think he did a much better job of reining that in and kind of being more in the moment and focused on the team. And I like what Bobby did. And the other thing is, you look at the quality of players they're getting, that says a lot about making this team relevant on a national landscape, that you've got two top 30 recruits in the country. So, mm-hmm. Was Herb Sendik getting that caliber of player? Not really. So I like what Bobby's done. I think he's kind of on course. I'd like to, I would have liked to have seen that postseason last year because we all know they were playing well and what could have been. But I think he's kind of got this team on an upward trajectory, and I like where it's going. And, the biggest question for him will be how he gets this team to play together. You've got a lot of alpha dogs that are used to having the ball in their hands. So I think that kind of might be the most compelling thing we look for this year is how does Bobby get the personalities to mesh, both on the court, off the court. And like I said, a lot of alpha dogs. And it took Remy and Alonzo Verge a long time to learn to play together last year. And now you've got more alpha dogs than that. So, I think that the excitement is there. But, when you get that quality of player, they're going to be one and done. So, it's a double-edged sword, but it's a good problem to have when you've got players that are that good.
Last thing, it's a football question, though. It's a two-parter. I've heard somewhere, so I asked the party first, college football will probably go on, but there's a possibility it may be played in the spring as opposed to the fall. Have you heard that?
You know what? There's so many scenarios bandied about. I think we're going to have a season because there's too much at stake if we don't have one. When it starts will be the big question mark. I don't know if it's going to be this. I hope it's not the spring, only from the standpoint of it's bad enough right now with the 1 month overlap we have with basketball and football going on at the same time. I can't imagine if I've got both of them going on for more than a month. That just would be a train wreck to deal with. Okay. But, I see either that or a late fall. Maybe you start in October or November type of thing. And I also would doubt that you go with crowds. I hate to say it. I don't know what college football is without a crowd. But, you could have, football without crowds. And even from a media standpoint, we're up there in the press box elbow to elbow to elbow. so they could come in and say, okay, you know, we're going to have media, but it's going to be a limited amount of media. For instance, you know, with our newspaper, we usually have four and sometimes five people covering a game. They may say, okay, it's two per outlet. Like, I don't know that you could put as many people in that press box sitting side by side by side and justify that if you're not justifying have people in the stands. So I think you could have something where you go off late in the fall, you have no crowds or a limited crowd, and you have limited media. I think that's the most realistic scenario. I don't know if you want to push – the other thing about pushing an entire season back to the spring, now you're wiping out spring practice, obviously, and you're also having players – let's say you're playing in February. Now you're going to have less of an off season, and you're going to ask your guys to ramp it back up for the next season in July. I don't know that that's a safe thing either.
Makes sense. You know what? The last question I had to do with ASU and what's your outlook, just from outside looking in on, you know, with no spring practice or anything, how ASU looks. But you said one thing that I actually had a fix for as soon as you said it. We could still do five media deep from AZ Republic, because if there are no fans, you could sit in the seats. And I think a lot of sports teams may do that. If there are no fans, why can't the press then just take seats and have a different perspective from that point? But anyway, back to the question, outlook. What do you think of what Herm has done with his recruits? And do you think if the season starts, and when the season starts, I should say, that ASU football will be ready to go this year?
Yeah, I think they will be. But, you know, we're all in the same boat, so to speak. And I'm kind of getting tired of that phrase, but it really is the case. You know, ASU was lucky enough to get seven spring practices in. They were the first Pac-12 team to start spring practice. Some schools got none. Okay, Colorado got none, and they have a new coach and new coordinators, and they got none. So they might be in a little bit of a better position because they did have a few practices to go on. Now, that being said, when you're learning an offense and a new defense, you probably needed more than seven. But, you know, I think they will, and I think if you look, I think this was going to be a big year for Herm. I think when you look at any coach, I think you judge them more on their third season than you do the first or the second. Because now Herm has his staff. He's got players he recruited. It's not somebody else's players. You've got a coordinator that's running an offense more suited to your quarterback. So I think when you look at any coach, the third year is a biggie. And you look at the other coaches, I think Chip Kelly at UCLA, and obviously Kevin Sumlin at that awful school down south. I think they're in big years too, because they need to turn it around too, and they're more on the downward trajectory than the upward trajectory that ASU is on. So I think that this is a big year for Herm, just because it's a third year, and that's when you start to see where a program is headed and you see the program taking on the personality of that coach.
I'll tell you something real quick that I posted on my Facebook. It says the NCAA is considering a football season without fans. They have reached out to the University of Arizona for advice. My response to my post was, I thought they were already doing practicing social distancing, because who shows up at their games?
Yeah,
anyway,
no kidding.
Hey, Michelle, I appreciate you very much. Please tell everyone where they can follow your good stuff.
Excuse me?
I said, please give everyone your Twitter and where you're writing, where they can read all the stuff that you write.
My Twitter is mgardnersports, and you can read all my stuff. And we have a bunch of great writers. I really love the staff that I work with. So hit up AZ Central. And right now, you know, obviously, you know, if we're talking the world and the main road right now, newspapers are doing a lot of work, and people can't even understand the work that's going into our reporters covering this pandemic, both from a sports angle and a health angle.
Cool. Hey, Michelle, I appreciate it. You know, I'm going to bug you again as we get closer. And like I said, don't forget me. I got my wife's checkbook. So when you get ready to get rid of it, let me know. Okay. I'm ready.
I have plenty of White Sox stuff. Trust me.
Yeah, there's not too many of us
okay,
fans
we'll
out
talk
there,
to you
so
soon.
I'm ready. Thanks, Michelle. Have a
Okay.
good day. Bye-bye. The one, the only, Michelle Gardner. Always great to have her on. I'm going to open these phone lines up, 917-889-7828. Let's do that in 30 seconds.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
All right, let's open up this Kerry Lackey Law Line right now. This is the Cave Show with PLR. Welcome back. What's on your mind? I told you what was on mine. I do have one more topic I'll get to. I'll get to that in a little bit. But I want to get what's on everyone else's mind. Welcome to the Cave Show. This is PLR.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
Lou, my friend. How are you, buddy?
All right. All right. Well, to leave off from what I didn't get a chance to do yesterday, the Jets did get some good news because we're getting Frank Gore on our side. Ooh, and I'm happy about that.
I know. You got him just before he turned 50.
Ha, 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 ha. Very funny.
No, Frank Gore is a great pro. Listen, he is a really good pro. He is it's amazing in a world where we say running backs are done at 29 that he has managed to stay in shape and stay professional and find a way to still help teams to a point where every year there's a team out there that wants his services. So big time kudos to Frank Gore and what he's done.
Yeah, I mean he's the third best. He was the third best running back of all time, only behind two of the great ones, Peyton and of course Emmitt.
Yeah, we're talking yards though.
I know.
When you say great behind Walter and Emmitt, I'm gonna bet there's a lot of people that are not gonna say he's better than a Jim Brown or one of those guys or Earl Campbell. He just has more yards because
he's played
longer.
He's in good company.
Yeah, yeah, like Vinny. Vinny Testaverde is thrown for a lot of yards, but he also played until he was like 60, so it makes a difference.
Yeah. That one, but he didn't do anything for the Jets, really. I mean, I never really liked him.
Vinny T. Yeah, I spoke to someone who actually played with him. I can't remember who it was. I had him as a guest on the show, and he raved about Vinny. And how great of a teammate he was. I don't remember who that was, though. But, yeah, he raved about Vinny Testaverde. But, yes, sir. Got Frank Gore going to the Jets.
Yeah. Now I really can't wait for the season to begin.
Nobody. Well, the schedule should be getting released pretty soon. So, I think we're all excited about that as well. We're all excited about that as well. See where everyone's favorite team is landing.
Yeah. Now, for the ridiculous sign of the week, I think this will qualify. Mike Tyson is trying to make a comeback in boxing. Like, are you nuts? This can't be happening.
It can be, but let me ask you a question.
He's 110 years
when
old.
When George Foreman did the same thing at 50, what did people say? And he ended up winning a championship. Let's just be honest. Have you seen the heavyweight division?
I've seen a few of it, and there's been nothing to write home about.
I mean, look, I'm not taking anything away from the guys that are fighting, and the Furies, and the Bronx, and the Brown Bomber, and all of them. Look, they all can fight. They've all held belts. Wilder, Deontay Wilder, they can all fight. Excuse me. But when I was younger, the heavyweight division carried boxing.
Yes.
Now boxing is carrying the heavyweight division. Guys like Canelo and all those guys, they're
Triple
the stars
G.
of a Triple G and before he retired, Mayweather and those guys. They carried boxing. They carried the heavyweights. Vladimir Klitschko was like a champ for about 50 years and no one even cared or knew. So I think there's a big difference now. So heavyweight, the heavyweight champion of the world, when I was a little boy, Muhammad Ali was a heavyweight champion of the world.
Right.
That was the coolest, baddest thing ever. When Mike Tyson was knocking people out before he even got in the ring, it was like, oh, Mike is fighting next. So you got nobody cares about heavyweights the same way, which is sad. But you say Canelo's fighting, you say Triple G is fighting, you say Floyd's coming out of retirement to fight. Everyone is clamoring, everyone is buying a fight, whether they want to or not, whether they like those people or not. And I think that's where the difference has started, and that's where the difference is. And Mike Tyson, let me ask you this question. If Mayweather and McGregor sold out, what do you think the pay-per-view would be if Mike Tyson came back and fought someone?
Through the roof.
Through the roof. So monetarily, it's a big deal.
But why would Mayweather want to jeopardize his perfect record? I mean, he's done everything. He doesn't need to do anything more.
No, I'm just saying, if he did, people would still buy the fight.
Okay.
And if people would buy a Mayweather-McGregor fight, which they bought, and Mayweather made almost $250 million off that fight, could you imagine how much Mike Tyson would make off of a fight?
I can't count that high.
And you know they're not going to put him in with the Fury or a Wilder or anyone like that. They're going to put him in with someone that he can probably beat, someone who has a little bit of name recognition, but not someone at the top so he can get the rust off. If you're Mike Tyson, and I'm not saying he is going to fight again, but if you're Mike Tyson, why would you not?
Too old.
You know what? How old are you when you stop cashing checks?
Well, it depends on if you still have the ability to do the job. But, you know, we're not
exactly.
all boxers. But we're not all boxers. You know, you take a beating, and you wonder why most boxers retire, like, about 35. I mean, they take such a pounding, they can't go on to 45 or 50. That's way too physical to continue at that point.
You're absolutely right. But Mike Tyson's only been in about five of those type of fights. Unlike a regular boxer who's been in those over and over again. Like I said, George Foreman came back at 50 and captured the hearts of America and won. Mike Tyson, if we look back over Mike Tyson's career, how many tough fights has Mike been in? You know,
two.
When we go through Ali went through, you know, the Frazier's, the Foreman's, the Norton's. He had tough fight after tough fight. Mike, he had what? Evander Holyfield? Maybe, the upset with Buster Douglas. It wasn't like his – I mean, people are going to laugh when I say this, but it wasn't like his brain got boxing fried. So if Mike comes back and fights one or two times and makes $180, $200 million, you know what? Why not? Hell, we've all been in fights for free.
Yeah.
So I'm not begrudging Mike for that.
If you ask me, I don't know how many people are taking it seriously, but the fact is, you know, fighting at the age of, 53 in human years, which is about 123 in boxing years and whatnot, I think he's making a big mistake.
But see, you're not getting an argument with me on that. I'm saying if you take a guy who's boxed from the age of 19 to 35, and he's taken punches nonstop, been in tough fights nonstop. I'm just saying, I think that's a difference than when you get a Mike Tyson who hasn't fought in almost 20 years, who hasn't taken that type of punishment over his career. And if he gets back in the ring with the guy that's a journeyman and he can make $200 million, hey, you know what? Hell, I'd fight him. I could get knocked out for a mil.
You willing to take that risk?
I'd take a gut punch knockout for $1 million. Hell yeah.
Okay.
Put everything aside. I'll fall fast. I'll fall so fast. You wouldn't know what happened. And it wouldn't be fake either. It wouldn't be fake either. If Mike Tyson hits me in my side, I'm going down. I take that. I take a punch for $1 million.
Well,
Sign
well,
me up
that's
twice.
That's guts on your part. I'll give you that. You got the guts.
I got the and I got a bank account that can take $1 million too.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so hit me in the face. Hit me in the side. I'll go down.
Okay.
That's the only thing I ask you. Just don't hit me in the face.
I got a good left hook.
You got to put $1 million in my account though first.
Maybe a half a million.
You know what? Then you can punch me in the arm.
Okay.
All right, my friend. We're back, Manana. We'll have the NFL schedule. We'll be talking about that for sure.
You know it. And I'll be covering that Saturday night as well.
All right, buddy. We'll talk then.
Thank you, Paul.
All right, Lou. Have a good one. Always good to catch up with Lou. Listen, I want to get into one last topic before we jump out of here. Earl Thomas. A lot of people don't want to touch this. I'm not one of them. I'm touching this. So, Earl Thomas, sure Hall of Famer. Sure Hall of Famer. Everyone talks about how great that secondary was in Seattle, the Legion of Boom, but I'm going to tell you something. That Legion of Boom had a blanket on it, and that blanket was called Earl Thomas. He made up for every mistake, everything that could go wrong, he fixed it. And if it was going right, he had his hand in it. But guess my man Earl and his brother decided that they were going to have a party with some other females that did not involve Earl Thomas's wife. Now, just speaking as a married man, if you don't have a party with your brother and there's some other females and the wife isn't involved, that's going to go south real fast. I guess his brother picked him up. They decided they'd go to his party, to this Airbnb. And at the Airbnb, they decided there'd be other females there. And Earl Thomas, if you're going to go out and you're going to mess around, you can't leave your tracker on. You leave your tracker on, I'm going to tell you this right now. A wife can find a husband anytime she puts her mind to it. If a wife clears everything off her schedule, the kids, the work, just for a little while, not forever, just for a little while, and your wife makes you her only case, her only FBI case, her only CIA case, you're the only thing she has to concentrate on for about 15, 20 minutes, whatever dirt you've done, it will be found. And it will be found quickly. Do not kid yourself. So his whereabouts was easy for her to find. Once she found it, she was on her way, locked and loaded with a couple of her girls. They bust in, they find Earl, they find his brother in the bed with other women. Now, I don't have to tell you that that's going to go south. I don't have to tell you that, because you know it went south. She held a gun to his head, Nina Thomas, his wife, held a gun to his head, chased him around with a knife, threatened to kill him, shoot him, threatened, according to reports, threatened to end to have violence towards the other women that were there. She was arrested at the end of the day along with her other two friends that went with her. And Earl Thomas got ahead of the story a little bit on TMZ, said things like this happened, pray for me and my family. And I am. What I'm praying for, or what I'm happy for more than anything, is that nothing went wrong in terms of nobody lost their life. Because emotion gets involved in domestic issues, lives get lost a lot. So I hope they work out whatever they work out, however they want to work out. But more than anything, I'm just thankful that no one lost their lives. And no one's life changed. And no one has to tell their child that there's a parent not here because of another parent. But my warning is to everybody, I don't care who you are, first law, don't cheat on your spouse. Second law, if you decide to do that, please turn your tracker off. Because you will get hunted. You will get found. Your wife will find you. Your husband will find you. So most importantly, just do the right thing. Don't do it. On the Twitter, on the Facebook, on the Instagram, at the Sports Cave, Caves with a K. The website is the Sports Cave with a K. I'm at PLR on Sports on the Twitter. Make sure you follow. Please, we have great social media. Thank you to the callers that called in. Michelle Gardner, ASU beat writer for the Arizona Republic. Thank you for calling in today. Always good to have you on air. You always have such great insight. Until tomorrow, enjoy the rest of your Friday Eve. This has been the KHO PLR. This is PLR.